It's the Hit List at KMFM, and we are so excited to have Tom Walker on with us this evening. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. All good. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm good. Can I start by saying what an amazing thing you did over Mother's Day, by the way, for your fans, doing all the songs? That was so sweet.
Oh, nice one, lad. I appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've done it a few times. We did, like, a little recap of the end of last year, and I think, like, 2,000 people sent in comments about how their year was, and then this time, it was a similar story with Mother's Day, and there was, yeah, just so many amazing stories about people's mums, and yeah, just try to wrap it into a little song for socials. It was a nice little writing tool to do, you know what I mean? Keeps you on your toes for writing songs.
I've got to say though, you're like always doing something, and I sort of want to know what a normal day for Tom Walker is, because if you're not doing something musically or hanging out with like Spud's Army, you're doing things for your fans. So what is a normal Tom Walker day? What happens in the life of Tom Walker?
Oh my God, I don't think I have many normal days. That's the thing about the music industry, like every day is so different, which is absolutely amazing. But if you like routine, you'd hate this job because there's no such thing. You know, like this weekend, we're going to Wrexham to do a pop-up gig in the town on Sunday, like a free pop-up gig, just because we're doing this little thing called like Tom's Towns, which is going to like cities and small towns that like artists don't regularly stop on tour, that maybe don't get like their favourite bands coming through. So yeah, that's what I'm doing this Sunday, which will be a good laugh.
Oh, so I know you've done a couple already, but come on, surely, is Kent in there anywhere?
I mean, I probably will, because it's a lot closer than Wrexham to London, which is where I live. So yeah, I'd love to come to Kent. That'd be amazing.
Come down to Margate, come do Fremling Walk in Maidstone or something like that. We'll sort you out with some lunch or something. We'll do something like that.
All right, I like it.
No, that would be good fun. And how are people finding these little pop-up shows? Because they must be quite nerve-wracking. It must like take you back. Did you do any busking back in the day? It must be a little bit
I did, but I did it in London. So to be honest, it was a nightmare because you need a busking license, but there's a two-year wait. And I was like, I don't have 2 years. I've got no money right now and I'm a student. So I was forever getting chased by like some kind of like parking warden of the sound busking police world. I don't know.
That's their official title. That is their official title.
I was forever getting chased away by like busking wardens, essentially, which was a nightmare. So I'd set up for 15 minutes, make £3, I'd get moved on, find another spot, set up for 15 minutes, get moved on. I mean, I was spending more on batteries than I was getting paid, to be honest, for the amp. So it wasn't a really, economical enterprise, but it was a good laugh.
You must have now, though, so much like sort of respect and sort of know that hard graft that has to go in for like any Kent musicians out there that are having to obviously get on the street, do some busking, go and do gigs. Yeah. Obviously, you know that if they're in some pubs and clubs, then they're obviously not greatly paid. And usually they're taking money out their back pocket just to do what they love. Surely for you that's something that you can really resonate with. Have you got any advice for these acts, these artists that might be listening right now?
I mean, just keep cracking on, really. I think the people that make it in the music industry are the people who are the most persistent, you know. Like, I literally had no other idea what I was going to do with my life if music didn't work out, so I just kept on just doing my thing and trying to progress and trying to get better. And you know, just putting the time in, basically. That, I know it sounds like a cliche, but that really is the thing. If you're willing to put as much time as possible in, chances are you're going to get somewhere eventually. Because a lot of the people around me, you know, they kind of just like accepted defeat a little too early, in my opinion. You know, they were like, oh, maybe this isn't for me. And I'm like, you finished uni last year and you're giving up already. Like, you know, you've got to give it a good go. If you want it, you've got to chase it.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's sort of me in radio. I was like, I don't know what else I'm going to... I can talk. I can be a class clown. That's about all I can do. So radio is perfect for me. But I find what's interesting with that as well is that a lot of people go, well, surely you did something before you went on to like radio. I was like, no, I got really lucky. I didn't need to. Like, yeah. I didn't need to go and do a job. And now I see like my nephews in McDonald's or like call centres and stuff. Did you do anything? Did you do any type of job before getting into...
Hey, I had the worst jobs. I was giving out leaflets for a living on cycling safety to moving cyclists at one point. It was the roguest job I've ever had. Like, basically, TfL London had employed me through some other company on like a 0 hours contract. Yeah. I was literally giving out leaflets on safety to moving cyclists, which felt like the most dangerous thing to be doing, and not definitely not keeping them safe. So I did that. I worked as a chef for a while. I was terrible at that, but they seemed to like me, so I never got fired.
Right.
I worked for a photo booth company. I was the guy that went down, built the photo booth, like stayed there, tried to stop the drunk people from robbing all the fancy dress. Believe me, mate, I've had a million and one jobs while I've been trying to chase music at the same time. And all of those jobs allowed me to do music on the side because they were kind of unusual
Yeah.
hour jobs. So yeah, it's not like I just got, you know, got straight out of uni and landed on my feet with a record deal. That's definitely not the case. I had to work really hard to get to this point.
Do you know what's quite funny about that? I'm that person you hate. One morning after a wedding, I woke up and on the side next to me was some pink fluffy sunglasses. And I was like, how did I get hold of these? And it was only the next day I found out, obviously, when my girlfriend, now wife, woke up beside me and she went, yeah, you thought it'd be really funny to run out of the wedding venue wearing those with a bow chasing you. I was like, oh. And here I am now hanging out with Tom Walker and immediately he hates me. This hasn't gone well, has it?
This rings a bell, actually. I think I might have been at that wedding. Throw me some glasses.
They're coming in the post. Have we got some KMFM sunglasses we can send to Tom Walker just to make up for that? Let's talk about your music, shall we? We are loving Head Underwater. Like, it is such a beautiful song. Tell us a bit about how this one came together.
Well, I was working with a bunch of producers out in Los Angeles, which is like not my favorite place in the world. I'm not gonna lie, because I'll be honest, I was born in Scotland. It's way too hot in LA for me. Every time I go out, I'm just like, feel like I'm instantly like getting a like sunburned. But these producers, the McDonald Brothers, they really like revitalized my passion and like the fire that I'd kind of lost a bit for music. They were just so amazing at what they do, and they're such great writers, and they all play every instrument. They're all amazing singers. So like writing with them in the studio was the most fun I think I've had in the last 4 years of writing. And, you know, I essentially binned an entire album worth of music before I got to this point. And me and them wrote this whole album in kind of 6 months after meeting each other. So it really was that kind of spark that just set everything off. And Head Underwater was one of those tracks. And that's kind of what the tune's about. You know, I was kind of felt like I was getting a bit lost in the depths of the darkness, not really enjoying music, which should be like the best job ever. But I think I was feeling the pressure a bit of, you know, the success of my first album, and I wasn't making music for the right reasons. But when I got in with them, it just became like the most fun job in the world again. So that's kind of what the song's about.
The biggest artists.
This is the Hit List. KMFM.
This is the Hit List. KMFM.
This song is a small piece of something bigger, your album I Am, which I've read a quote from you saying the album is a combination of me trying to figure out who I am for the last 4 years. So how different has writing this and recording this album been to other pieces of work that you've done? Because this album sounds like it's got a lot of meaning. It's very much from the heart.
Yeah, well, I've had a few ups and downs in the last couple of years, and you know, some massive highs, some pretty big lows, and all of that's kind of reflected in the album. You know, like I've got a song called Holy Ghost, which is, you know, it sounds quite dark, the song, but it is actually a celebration of like me and my wonderful wife, Annie, getting married this year, you know what I mean? And like her just being this rock and this absolute, you know, oh, this constant in my life that I need to just keep me on the level. And then, you know, there's other kind of sadder songs. There's one called Lifeline because, you know, that I wrote about losing a friend of mine last year, which was so tough for like me and my friendship group. It's one of the hardest things I think all of us have gone through. So it's a real kind of measure of the ups and downs and all arounds that have been in my life. But I'm so excited for people to hear it because it is by far the most ambitious production and vocals and songwriting that I've ever done so far. And from the small amount of like little intimate gigs we've done so far, people have been absolutely loving the new tune. So I can't wait to get back on tour in April and play these songs in massive venues around the UK. It's going to be such a buzz for me and the band.
Do you know what? You mentioned there about writing the song about your friend that passed away. This is why, for me, songwriting is probably one of the most special bits of art I think that anyone can do. I struggle even just putting my emotion into like a birthday card or like an anniversary card or anything like that. I remember when my sister passed away, like writing a card on her flowers. I was like, I can't put anything down on paper. How do you do that? How do you manage to sit down and just write a song to sort of tell the story of how you feel? How does that happen?
I think the whole reason I started writing songs in the first place is because it was like, it was kind of therapy for me. It was me getting all the things in life that I was really worried about or buzzing about or whatever it might be. It was just getting all those emotions down. And when you write something down in front of you and you get to see it, it feels like it's kind of easier to process, you know, what's actually happened. So I started writing music, not really because I wanted to be a songwriter. It was because I was kind of getting all my feelings and emotions down on paper, and that made me feel better. And then just so happens that that's kind of turned into a career. But I think that's why people resonate with some of the songs, like, because they find their stories in the lyrics and they resonate with what you're saying, which is such a beautiful thing to see, especially when you can see somebody on the front row in the crowd, you know, singing every lyric like it means the world to them and getting a bit emotional. And like, as a songwriter, it feels good to think that you're helping somebody through like a rough time. You know, and for that reason I do love songwriting. And music for me has always been, if I'm feeling upset or sad or depressed or whatever, you know, music is such a huge part of getting me out of that. You know, there's the Tom Misch, he's got an instrumental song on his EP called Beat Take 2, called The Journey, which every time I was on tour and I was like, had no sleep, and I was like having to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to try and motivate myself into the shower before a flight at like 6 a.m. or whatever, I'd just put that song on and think, right, today is going to be a good day. This song is going to get me through. It's going to bring me into the world. So music's such an incredible thing like that. Imagine like movies without music. They would make no sense whatsoever. Yeah. None of the emotions would be relayed, you know? So it is such a powerful thing. And I do love that about being a songwriter and a musician. It's a privilege.
It's a dopamine fix, isn't it? I think that's how we always say it. It's like, if you get the right song and you've got the right artist, you can listen to anything. And it is literally like a dose of dopamine. It sort of makes you go to a different place, really, really impacts your day. You've had me on nicer there, actually. You're talking about reactions in the crowd, so I do want to talk about your tour, where there's sold out signs everywhere at the moment, because I know you're really looking forward to that. But just going back slightly to Head Underwater, we mentioned about your album I Am. Now I'm going to be a proper music journalist here. All we have is summer 2024 at the moment, Tom. So is there anything you can tell us about a release date? When is this album actually coming? How soon is it? Is it start of summer, middle of summer, end of summer? When are we getting it?
It's probably going to be right at the end of summer, I think. I've just handed it in at the moment, so we're just trying to figure out. And finalise everything at the moment. You know, there's a lot more to music these days than just dropping an album and putting it out. So I just want to make
sure we're not all Beyonce, are we? We're not all Beyonce.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And timing is everything in this business. So yeah, we are trying to get it right. But the album is finished now. It's finished. Right. It's mastered. It's been handed in. So as soon as I can get it. But I think what we're going to do is drop a few singles in the meantime. Mm-hmm. So people will be getting music off that album before the album comes very soon.
Nice. Right, we're looking forward to it. I Am, more towards the end of summer, but we shall see.
Yeah.
And who knows when the end of summer is with the English weather. We will wait and we will find out. So it could be at any point this year if it's a hot September and October. Look, we're really looking forward to it, Tom. As much as I just saw you there talking about, obviously, the reaction of your fans to your songs, you're doing, obviously, going around towns at the moment as well. But how excited are you, the fact that you're doing a big headline UK tour and... they're selling out. They're selling out really quickly, and there's a lot of demand at the moment for Tom Walker everywhere. So how excited are you to get on tour?
Yeah, I mean, I'm absolutely buzzing. It's been a long time since we've put an album out, so you never know how the tours are going to sell. And it's 28,000 tickets in total, and it looks like we're going to sell the majority of the venues out, which is such an exciting thing and just a real testament to, like, how amazing my fan base is, you know, coming back to hear, to come to a gig where they're going to be hearing 50% music they've not heard before and hoping they absolutely love it. So, yeah. But for me and the band, it's, you know, it's the first big UK tour we've done since 2019. We've done a few underplay gigs and a few, like, smaller venues, but, like, to be playing, you know, venues like the Aventum Apollo in London so it's just going to be absolutely amazing. So yeah, I'm so excited. I'm literally in production rehearsals today with the band studio in the house, like getting everything ready for it. And it sounds so good. And it's rather than a gig, it's going to be a proper show this time. We've spent the last 3 months getting the lighting all sorted for it. And putting like little moments here and there in the show to make it a proper, proper show. So I'm absolutely buzzing and just can't wait to hit the road again.
Do you do all that at your place then?
Yeah, we're doing the initial bits at home. Obviously, once it gets into rehearsals, we're going in straight into a studio. And then for production rehearsals, we'll be in a big warehouse so that we can test out all the lighting and make sure the show is hitting exactly how we want it to when we get to these bigger venues. So, yeah, this is like the beginning of a bigger picture. So, but it is nice to just get together. It's me and the drummer today going through a few ideas. In a couple of weeks' time, we're getting in again with a few more people. So, yeah, it's just a little process to build it up and make sure we're ready for the tour.
It might be a bit early slash emerge of the answer you've just given then in terms of the question, if fans are listening, what can they expect from these shows then? How big are you going? You mentioned about the warehouse with the big lighting rig and getting that right. What can fans expect?
I mean, it's the most money I've ever put into a show in terms of, we've got lasers, mate. I was like, we need lasers. We've got these laser lights that I specifically requested. In terms of like the lighting rig and all that, it's the kind of most money we've ever put into it because we want people to go out the door thinking, oh my God, that was for 25, 30 quid, that was absolutely unbelievable gig. So I really hope people feel that when they come and see the show. But in terms of the music and the level of production, it's going to be big. You know, some of the songs on the new album are a little reminiscent, I guess, of like Imagine Dragons, because I wanted to make sure that the day we get into these kind of, you know, arena spaces, we really have a big enough sound to occupy them. So hopefully people agree and think that's the case.
And who, you mentioned there, like Imagine Dragons for the live shows, like a nice influence. Who are you listening to at the moment? Who are the artists that you're really, really digging right now?
Oh, that's a great question. Who have I really been digging at the moment? I'm a massive fan of Hybrid Minds, who are like a drum and bass artist. I've been feeling them because I've got into running recently. And I've been a huge fan of them for years, but they've been dropping a couple of cool things at the moment. And I'm actually hopefully going to be doing something with them later this year. And I don't know, there's something about drum and bass that just, every time I'm having a bit of a bad month, I'm like, right, it's time to go, get a couple of the friends, go to a drum and bass rave, dance all night, let it all out of the system, and then have a little reset. So, yeah I've been big into them recently.
Drum and bass is back. It is properly back in a massive way.
It's so funny to see it. I'm going to make myself sound old here, but to kind of see it full circle, you know what I mean? If people are like, yeah, this show is drum and bass. I'm like, yeah, I've heard it, mate. I've heard it.
Yeah. I had the same situation the other day. I turned and said to my wife, I was like, dubstep next. And she went, what step? I said, dubstep. It's like, brilliant.
I missed the days of dubstep, mate. Those dubstep raves were incredible. Like, that halftime dancing is my kind of thing.
I was listening the other night to Mode Step, Sunlight, and I was like, I've not had this in ages. What a tune. And Cameron Crooked and all these.
They were massive.
What a time. Well, Tom, thank you for coming on. I just want to always end and wrap up my chats and my, you know, whenever I get to hang out with someone like you, just with a very simple question, which is, do you have a message for your fans? Because I know how much they mean to you and how much they mean to artists in general.
Yeah, just a massive thank you for the continued support over the years. It's still overwhelming to me that I get to do this like full time for a living. You know, it blows my mind because music is something I'm so passionate about. And you don't get to do this job unless you can convince people to listen to your tunes and come to your gigs. So I'm so appreciative of people who've bought tickets and listened to my music and, you know, requested it on radio or whatever it is. Like, yeah, nice one, because it's, again, such a privilege.
Tom, thank you so much. Best of luck with the album. And on top of that, please come down to Kent for one of the town tours. Come on, we can pull some strings anywhere you want. We'll make it happen.
All right. Okay. Maybe we could do something in collaboration. I like where this is going. We'll be in touch.
We'll do something. Cheers, Tom. Thank you, mate.
Thank you very much. Cheers.